available for you if you need one. Just raise your hand. Pastor Miranda, stand up, Miranda. We are working. I thought we did that on the phone. You know, what we've discovered is that it's very, very time-consuming to do those kinds of things, and also takes somebody that has the wherewithal to do it. Somebody say, the pastor don't. I don't know anything about it, but it's very complex. So we are in need of people, specifically young persons. We've discovered that teenagers, youth, are better at formulating those kinds of things than we are. So if you've got a child who's interested in doing that, they can help us in terms of technology. And, you know, we use technology. Here in this church, we use technology. Guess what? The world's using technology. You're using technology. And in order to keep up and stay fresh and relevant, we must, somebody say must, we must keep ourselves fresh and current in what God is doing these days. Thank you for a team back there in the back. They don't get much recognition. Jack and Denise and Michael and Jeremy and Dylan, all these guys that do the things that make the service flow. You couldn't make it happen if you didn't have an AV team back there that takes care of all those things. Would you give them a hand this morning? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let me remind you that Wednesday night we have water baptism service here in the Family Life Center at the beginning of the service. So if you need to be water baptized, all you'd have to do is just go to the booth in the Welcome Center this morning and register, and make sure you're here at 6:30. Meet me in the cafe. Just bring something that you don't mind getting wet, you know, a nice dress or a suit, something like that. Bring a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, something you can change in. Meet me at 6:30 in the cafe, and we're gonna just go over some preliminary things for you. And those of you that are following the Lord in water baptism, it's a great night for you. Wednesday the 9th. The following Wednesday night, for those of you who are interested, we have an opportunity for you to get plugged in at a different level. And that is just by saying, hey, you know, I think this church is my home. I want this church to be my home. And I want to join this church. And so we'll be taking in new members. Membership class is May the 16th. That's on a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. You say, well, class, what do you do? Well, we get your social security number, your IDs and all that stuff. We run a credit check. Check if you have any bankruptcies or anything like that. No. It's an opportunity for us. The reason we call it a membership class and there's an application, that kind of thing, is simply because we want you to know what you're joining, okay? We want you to understand that you're partnering up with us, and we want you to know where we've come and where we're going. Amen? We want you to know where we've come from since the days of Fenton Jones. God spoke to a man across the state of North Carolina and sent him here to start this church. And he became discouraged after about a year and left. But guess what? He never left the call of God to plant a church here in Ahoskie. And he came back, and he ended up in Tunis in a little fishing village over there near Winton. And he started what was then known as First Assembly of God, took it to a Bible study because it was the only place they could meet. They took it to a Bible study in a lady's home in Pilesville. There were only three people in the church. Aren't you glad that Fenton Jones didn't give up? He didn't quit. And we're here today because of men who've plowed the way for us to have a church like this in Hertford County and the surrounding area. So please, if you'd like to be a part of the church by way of membership, just show up, okay? Just show up on May the 16th on a Wednesday night, 6 o'clock in the cafe. And we'd love to have a chance just to share with you where we've come from and where we're going. Somebody say, give it up. Give it up. We're in the series, and I've entitled the series, Give It Up. And we're talking about the reality that God expects us to utilize the things that he puts in our hands. He gives us time. Last week we talked about that. He gives us time, 86,400 seconds in every day. Everybody's got the same. And he gives us time. And we concluded from Ephesians last week that when we give God our time and allow our time to be influenced, not by foolishness that the world has to offer. Paul said it like this. He said, hey, don't get drunk with wine. But if you want to be influenced, he says what? Be filled with the Spirit. Be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we discover that three things happen according to the Scriptures. Three things happen. What are those three things? Well, you'll live a life of encouragement. He says you will speak to yourself and others with what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You'll live a life of encouragement. Secondly, you'll always be a thankful person. How many of you know some people who are just thankful people? You know, they have gratitude in their life. They have positive things to say, positive responses. They don't complain. He says you will always give thanks to the Father for what? For everything, even the hard stuff, even the challenging stuff. And so then the third thing, that if you give the Lord your time, we taught you that you'll be relationally blessed. He goes on and says, listen, you'll be able to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And where does it start? He goes right into the next sentence talking about husbands and wives. It starts where? At home. You need to get it right at home. And then as you leave your home and go out into community, God says, listen, if you give me your time, I'll make sure you're relationally blessed. Bottom line, things work better for you when you give God your time. Somebody say, give him your time. Amen. Give him your time. Today we're talking about giving the Lord our treasure. Amen. Giving the Lord our treasure. Somebody say, oh no, he's talking about money. Come on, y'all weak on that one. Oh no, he's talking about money. Listen, you know what I've discovered? You're absolutely right. We're going to talk about money today. But listen, as you look in the New Testament, Jesus had one subject that he talked about more than any other subject. You know what it was? Money. He talked more about hell than he did about heaven. But he talked a lot about those things. But the top subject for Jesus in the New Testament, as he walked about teaching and discipling, he talked to people about their treasure. Somebody say cha-ching. Amen. You know what, Pastor David, I've discovered that preachers don't want to talk about money. Preachers don't want to talk about tithing. Preachers don't want to preach on this. So, you know, I said, God, would you help me? Because I know I'm going there. I'm going time, treasure, and talent. I said, Lord, please give me a creative way to teach the positive truth of God's word so that people can embrace the reality of what you've called them to. And I thank God for that. Listen, if you get yourself engaged and connected, and maybe you're volunteering, or maybe you're not just yet. You say, hey, Pastor, I'd like to get involved some kind of way in the church. If you get yourself engaged, connected, and volunteer doing something in the church, you'll feel more a part because you are putting all in, because you're putting your time in. But it doesn't stop there. God wants you not just to put your time in. He doesn't just want you serving at Carpenter Shop International Church. God wants you supporting Carpenter Shop International Church. Amen? He wants you to take your tithe. He wants you to take 10% of your earnings and drop it into the treasury. This is a biblical thing. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about that word tithe. Because you know what? We've discovered that, you know, people really don't really know what that means sometimes. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 read like this. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Amen. How many of y'all got a wealthy person sitting beside you? Come on now. Listen, I've been to 23 countries in my life, and I know this. If you live in America, you are wealthy, okay? You're wealthy. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. You say, well, I'm glad that don't apply to me because I'm not a farmer, okay? Well, it does apply to you. He says what? Then if you do this, this is conditional. God's a conditional God. If you do this, then I'll do this. God says what? Then your barns will be filled to what? Overflowing. And your vats will brim over with new wine. King James says, honor the Lord with your what? Substance. Honor the Lord with your substance. Now notice, this is a language that is primarily pointed toward an agricultural society. This is an agrarian term. He says, honor the Lord with your first fruits and your barns will be overflowing. We've all, you know, we all got income. Maybe you don't farm. Maybe, you know, maybe you're not raising crops and those kinds of things. Maybe you don't even have any land except the little spot that you live on, and you don't even have room enough for a garden, you know. Maybe that's not you, but guess what you do have? You have a job. You have income. So God wants you to honor, and he gives us the biblical precedent in the scriptures on how we are to honor him. We have income. We have income streams. And we understand that when the Bible calls for us to honor the Lord with our substance, your substance is everything about you. He wants your time. He knows who you are. It's everything about you. Your purpose here on this earth. What you produce. How you survive. How you thrive. God wants you to give that to him. The word we're talking about today is tithe. T-I-T-H-E. It simply means what? A tenth part. Now, funny thing, as a pastor for some 37 years now, I've had financial people in my life, you know, who handle the treasury all these years, and they've come to me and say, "Pastor, you know, I covered up the name, but I want you to see this." And they'd show me the check, and they say, "Look down there at the bottom." How many of you know a check, for those of you who still use those things, has a little area down there called memo, and you get to put in the memo what the check was written for. Okay, this is what I've seen in 37 years of ministry. I'm just going to give you a couple examples. Seen all kinds of things. Some people have written in the memo, "These are my tithes." T-I-D-E-S. These are my tithes. I thought, that's good. That means if you give it, then the Lord, like a mighty wind, wave, will just roll the blessings in. Come on, somebody. I give him my tithes. Then I thought, that was pretty cool. I said, "Lord, just bless them anyway. Send a tsunami, glory to God." Amen? Because I gave my tithe. Well, then I've seen one someone showed me over the years. Tithes, T-I-E-S. "This is my tithes." And I thought, God, I like that, because this does what? If I'm willing to show up and give my time, and I'm willing to reach into my pocket and give him some of my substance that belongs to him already, then it does what to me? It ties me to the church, okay? So this is my tithes. So I don't care if it's your tithes, at least let it be your tithe, amen? It means a tenth part. Spell it like you want it. Let's borrow from Nike here. Just do it, okay? Just do it. Just do it. The tithe simply means a tenth part. It's in the Bible, Genesis chapter 14. The scripture says here in verses 19 and 20, it really goes in here if you read the whole story. It records the battle with Abram and the Amalekites as well as the Amorites. And it says this, it says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of what? Of the Most High God. And he blessed Abram, saying, 'Blessed be Abram, God of the Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High,'" look at this, "'who delivered your enemies into your hand.'" How many of you know if you did it, God did it for you? Come on, somebody. He said he delivered the enemies into your hand. Then Abram did what? Gave a tenth of everything. Abram, listen, he's given the foundational truth here. Notice this. This is pre-Mosaic law. This is before the law of Moses. The Bible records here that the biblical pattern is to give 10% of what you have. Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22. It shows this also in Abram's son. What was his son's name? Jacob. It shows this also. He says that Jacob honored God in the very same way. God took care of him. God watched over him divinely. And look at what Jacob did. He did just like his father had taught him. Genesis 28, 20 to 22. "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey that I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God.'" And verse 22, "And this stone," you know the story, "that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, Lord," what will I do? "I will give you a tenth." Of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. How about the story of Cain and Abel? We went over it several months ago in one of my series. We talked about the life of Cain and Abel. Now, in the Cain and Abel narrative, it does not give us what? Percentages. But what it does tell us, it tells us a little about Cain. Cain was what? Cain was a farmer. It tells us a little about Abel. Abel was what? Abel was a herdsman. He was a shepherd. And Cain gave to the Lord, but Cain gave out of his leftovers. Abel gave to the Lord, but Abel gave what? The Bible says that Abel gave out of his firstlings, the first fruits of the crop. He gave the first to the Lord, and God honored Abel, but he was not honorable to Cain. And so the Lord says to him, listen, he says in Genesis 4, 6, and 7, "Cain, why are you so angry? Why are your face downcast? Why, man, wipe that smirk off your face." He says, if you do what's right, he's doing this little spirit of comparison here. He says, if you do right, will you not be accepted also? If you just do the right thing, you'll be accepted. And so I don't know about you, but I'd rather be blessed by God than cursed by God. Amen? Amen. I'd rather be blessed. I've heard the old timers say, listen, if you don't pay your tithe, he's going to get it one way or another. Plumbers, electricians, doctors, lawyers, he's going to come and get his money some kind of way. Come on, somebody. But all I know is this. I don't know anything to do but trust God. And you can talk to tithers all over this room. Tithing just doesn't make sense on paper. You can put it all down and somehow you just scratch your head. My wife and I do the same thing over the years and say, you know what? I don't know how we're able to do this. I don't know how we're able to do the extra things that we do, the blessings that we give to others sometimes. How can we do this and keep paying the bills? Because God is the one who's in charge of everything. He has the ability to open heaven for us and bless us with what the Bible says, with more than we can even contain. God is in control. Give him praise, would you? These are biblical examples. What I've shared with you thus far are biblical examples, even before the law was given to Moses. As you continue through the scriptures, you come to Leviticus. And we have the commands that the Lord gave to Moses, Leviticus 27, verse 30. It reads like this: a tithe, tenth of everything, from the land, whether grain, from the soil, or fruit from the trees, comma, belongs to the Lord. It is what? It is holy to the Lord. Somebody say the tithe is holy. Why is it holy? Because it's God's. And he has commanded that we do this. This comes from the Levitical day. It comes from the law. And he says it's holy. He understood that the people, listen, Nehemiah come to a place where he understood that the people, with the destruction of Jerusalem, people had wandered away from doing this practice, this principle. They had wandered away from it. So God calls Nehemiah. You say, what did Nehemiah do? He rebuilt the walls of the city of Jerusalem. But as he rebuilds the walls of the city of Jerusalem, you know what he does? He reinstates, if you will, tithing. He says, hey, you guys wandered away from the things of God. Let me call you. Let me ring the bell for you. We are reinstating the fact that a tenth of everything you have belongs to God. So God used Nehemiah for this. You know, I've noticed too as a pastor over the years that when people wander away, hold on to your seat now. I'm walking through the aisle of the airplane. Are you buckled up? Are you buckled up? Hold on. He says, listen, when people wander away from God, guess what they take with them? They take their money with them. People leave the church. You hadn't seen them in weeks. They miss it in action. Guess what happens? The treasury's missing it too. Because if they're not here, some people have this mentality. If I go, I owe. If I stay away, I don't pay. Okay? It's true. If I go, I owe. Well, I'm here. I guess I'll do what I'm supposed to do. Bless God. No. If you're not here, hit the app. Go ahead and send your money, even if you can't be here. But see, that's the attitude that people have cultivated, just like in the Old Testament. And Nehemiah said, listen, I've noticed that people wandered away from God, and when they wandered away from God, they also took their money with them. Look at your check register. See how you're spending it. Outback, Walmart, Olive Garden, Sam's Club. Go right on down the line. If you don't run into the church or a line that says, I gave to this, and a memo, missions. I gave to the missions offering last week. Incidentally, you say, mission. We just did it off the cuff. There's an open window. I said, Anoli, man, take Deani with you. Take Deani with you. That would be awesome. We passed the plate last week. You paid the entire airline for both of them, all of their expenses, except $260. Man, somebody could write a check for that whole thing. Somebody just sitting here right now. I just take care of that. And just write a check for $260 and put it in the missions. Can you imagine? There are people that come from this house. And we just said this morning, I didn't even put it on the schedule. I just said, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said, take an offering. I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray for these guys. I believe God can take care of their wings this morning. And pass the plate in front of you, and that's what you did. Why? Because you have a missions heart. You have a heart of generosity to the things of God. And can I just tell you something? You have set this church up for the glorious blessing of a living God who wants to pour out in abundance upon this church. Why? Because you give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It'll work for the church and it'll work for you. I promise you, you put God first. We can't afford to pay our tithe. No, you can't afford not to pay your tithe. Because when you don't pay your tithes, you know what you just did to your bank account? Cursed it. You just cursed it. Getting awful quiet up in here. But it's the truth. People move away from the church, miss a few weeks, and guess what? Statistics have proven that sometimes people don't go to church because if they go, they feel obligated to give. Amen? Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. That's why I said, look at your check register. Look at your online banking. You'll be able to tell what you care about. You'll be able to tell exactly what you care about. So even in the Old Testament, when the people of God wondered, they stopped tithing. Nehemiah reinstituted the tithe and called for the people to do what? Be faithful. So today we see that the whole idea of tithing predates Mosaic law. It comes before thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. It predates that even before Moses comes on the scene. But when Moses comes on the scene, God still says, listen, 10% is mine. 10% is mine. I was reading this morning. I just was thinking about, man, who's a good example? I think I still got it on my telephone here. Yeah, it's there. I was reading this morning and I was thinking, God, I've always heard about JCPenney. How many of y'all buy your clothes from JCPenney's? Come on, how many of y'all shop from JCPenney? They're a little cheaper than Belk's. Come on, let's be honest. They're a little bit less maybe than Belk's. Maybe now they've kind of evened out because kind of maybe Belk's fudged a little bit. Maybe JCPenney stepped it up a little bit. But JCPenney, I've always heard JCPenney was a tithing man. Here's a story about JCPenney. James Cash Penney, born in Hamilton, Missouri, September 16, 1875. James Cash Penney's first venture as a retail proprietor, a butcher shop in Longmont, Colorado, opened in 1899 and failed immediately. After he refused to bribe an important local hotel chef with a weekly bottle of bourbon, he says, I lost everything I had. He says, but I learned never to compromise. I wasn't going to compromise my beliefs. The guy said, hey, man, you know what? I'll hook you up here. You know, come on, we'll work this thing together. No, you do God's plan, not the world's plan. So the story, it says, of James Cash Penney, J.C. Penney, is an amazing story. Penney's early upbringing was unusual. At age 8, he was buying his own clothes, earning his own money for his own needs. He was taught scrupulously honesty by his minister father, James Cash Penney. Said at the end of his career, what I have done, given the times and the circumstances, anybody could have done, he said. I haven't had any special attainments, but the boy who was baptized Cash by living the golden rule became a leader in refined gold. As he started out in business, the story says his business was going poorly, and all of a sudden he goes into a collapse and begins to lose and started to shut everything down. And it affected him mentally, and he ended up in a sanitarium. As he was in the sanitarium, he heard someone playing the piano down the hallway and wandered in there. And he said that particular night, he said, I totally gave my life to Jesus Christ. He opened his first store called the Golden Rule Store in a mining town in Wyoming in 1902. His store is changing names to the J.C. Penney Company in 1913. He became convinced, internally convicted, that even in debt and poverty, he should return his tithe to God. And he did. And J.C. Penney department stores began to spring up all over America. It is said that he gave no less than 10% and most often gave 30% of his income as a tithe to God. Penney's unwavering faith can be noticed at his death in 1971. He left behind 1,660 J.C. Penney stores. God's God did what? God blessed him. J.C. Penney, a man who tithed 30% of his income. That's an amazing, amazing thing. Put God first. Put God first in everything that we do. Amen? You know, I remember as a kid, my dad on Saturday night, my dad would lay money on the kitchen table. And, you know, I'm 57 years old. I'm talking way back there. And he would lay a quarter on the table. And a quarter for me, a quarter for my brother. And what was that money for? My dad taught us that when you go to church, you always have something in your hand to give. And so we would put that in Sunday school. And I remember seeing my dad's envelope laying there. You know, we used to use church envelopes. And I watched my dad for years give of his income to the church. And then he taught us, as we got working and earning a little bit of pocket change and what have you, he taught us, you know, you should give 10% of your money. And so I remember, you know, when sometimes it was a dollar and sometimes it was $2. But I remember being taught by my dad at home the principle of tithing. The New Testament calls for this as well. We don't have percentages in the New Testament, but we give based upon what? The Old Testament, okay? And I'm a firm believer. Listen, if you're sitting here this morning, you say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm in a bad situation. I don't work a job. I receive food stamps. Give 10% of your food stamps away. Amen? Just take the food from $10, 10% of it, whatever it is, you figure it up, and give that away. God will honor that principle. Amen? He will do it. You should give 10% of your substance away. So I got some friends that are going to help me today. Amen? We're going to tie this thing together. I got some friends that are going to come here, and they're going to help us this morning to just kind of illustrate this principle that God is showing us in the Scriptures. Some of you that are here today, you know full well the biblical reality of tithing. You live it. You proclaim it in your life, in your behaviors. And the reason, listen, the reason that we're able to do what we do here at Carpenter Shop Church, the reason we're able to do it is because of people like you who faithfully give. The reason we're able to do missionaries is because you support the work of the ministry. So, you know, here's the whole deal. God says, listen. He says, listen, if you got watermelons, come on, listen, you got watermelons, God says, I want a watermelon. Okay? Amen. But the rest of it, you can keep it for yourself. This is your table over here. This is God's table. God says, listen, this is my table. So you take 10%, I just want one, goes over here. Okay? All those go over there. That's your table. You get to keep that. Listen, don't worry about this. This is just your little measly 10%, okay? The rest of it goes to God. And God said, listen, if you got cabbage, God says, I love cabbage. Amen? How many of y'all believe that if God had cabbage, he put a big old hunk of side meat in it? Come on, somebody. Amen? God said, listen, I love cabbage. God's got him a cabbage. Amen? God's got a watermelon. God's got a cabbage. God says, you know what I love? I love oranges. Amen? God loves oranges. How many of y'all love oranges? God says, I love oranges, but he says, I don't want all your oranges. He said, I just want one bag, and you can have the rest of them. Did y'all know that God's into pineapples too? God loves some pineapple. How many of y'all have noticed the difference when you go to a restaurant if they're serving real pineapple or if this is canned stuff? Come on, somebody. God says, listen, I love pineapples. And God says, I love watermelons, I love cabbage, I love oranges, I love pineapples. I'm glad God loves pineapples. I'm glad he created them. And God says, you know what? Sometimes you may not feel like you have anything to eat, but everybody loves potatoes. Come on, somebody. God says, I love potatoes. And all he says I want is just one bag of your potatoes. You can have all the rest of them. God says, but I just want one bag of your potatoes. Amen? And how many of you know that sometimes, you know, when you think you can't make it without it, you realize you got to have some onions, all right? God says, I love onions. God loves purple onions too, okay? So God says, hey, I love onions. I love them purple onions, especially on my salad. Y'all like purple onions on your salad? Can you look at what's happening to your table? This is your table, by the way. Just letting you know. God says, listen, I ate all the watermelon. I sure would love to have me a cantaloupe. So God loves cantaloupes too. Amen. How many of y'all love cantaloupes? Come on. God says, I just love cantaloupes. I don't want but one. You can have all the other nine. You keep them for yourself. Praise the Lord. Cantaloupe's been eaten up. God says, I think it's apple season. Amen. So, God says, I love apples. But I don't want all your apples. Just give me one bag, okay? Just give me one bag of apples. You know, sometimes, you know, I think last night, Pastor Joy and I, with Zach, we had done some work, and so he said, hey, let's grab something to eat, man. It's getting late. We grabbed something to eat, and I said, hey, let me have I don't want the french fries. Could you replace that with broccoli? How many of y'all know God loves broccoli? Okay. He does. He loves broccoli. So we'll give God some broccoli. But he said, hey, all that other broccoli, you can have it. You can have it. And of course, I mean, what would life be without bananas? Come on. God loves bananas. God loves bananas. Praise God. Can you look at what happened to your stuff? Come on, this is God's. That's yours. Okay? This is God's, and that's what you get to keep. God says, I'm going to pass it all through your hands. You're going to get paid, you know, direct deposit, okay? But what I want you to do is I want you to take 10%. I want you to take 10%, and I want you to recognize that that 10% is holy unto me. Dave Ramsey said this. Dave Ramsey said, you don't even need, I'm quoting him, you don't even need a miracle to live on 90% in America. Come on, think about this. You don't even need a miracle to live on 90% in America. What you need is to stop coveting, to stop buying stuff that you cannot afford, and to stop living far beneath your means. You don't need a miracle. You just need to have some sense. In America, why? Because America is a nation of abundance. God has given us abundance. And listen, he says, I'll let you have all of this. All I want is just a tenth portion. You got 1,000? I'll let you have 900. Just give me one. Just give me $100. Okay? You can have, listen, you might $10,000. You can have 9,000. Just give me 1,000. The math never changes. The percentage never changes. I want to share a story with you from Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. The verses are 6 to 12. He says in verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, notice what he says here. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. The Lord says what? Return to me. The Lord says, return to me. Okay? And he says, I will return to you. Okay, so if you're sitting here this morning, you say, you know what, man, I know I should be, I mean, I can see it. I know I should be doing this because look, that makes me look bad. I mean, I got all this and God has this. So I need to return. He says, return to me. And you know what I'll do? I'll return to you, says the Lord Almighty. He says, but you ask, how are we to return? How are we to return? He says, well, a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? How are we robbing you? He says, you're doing it in what? In tithes and offerings. He says, you're under a curse. Your whole nation, your whole family. Why? Because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe, the tenth portion, into the storehouse, the church. Well, you know, I watched Joyce Meyer, so I sent in her my tithe. Well, when you go to the hospital, you call Joyce. Okay? When your kids get ready to get married, you see if Joyce will do it. I'm just being honest. Okay? You bring your tithe where? To the storehouse. Now, if you want to give Joyce Meyer Ministries or T.D. Jakes Ministries, if you want to give them offers, knock yourself out. But that's when you start moving in beyond your what? Your 10%. You can give an offering to them, but your tithe belongs to the storehouse. And he says, test me in this. The Lord says, hey, put me to the test. And you know what? We believe this in this church. We believe this. If you say, Pastor, I'm going to start tithing, man, that just did it for me. I'm going to start tithing. You start tithing in May of 2018, tithe for 6 months. And if you can say to me after 6 months, you know what? You remember that message you preached that morning about tithing? And you said, tithe for 6 months? Well, I wish I'd never done it. If you regret tithing, Carpenter Shop Church will issue you a check for every penny you gave to this church and pay it back to you. Guaranteed. Because what you're saying is, I trusted God and God didn't come through. So we're going to stand on God's word. God will do what he say he will do. He says, test me in this. And he says, listen, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I'll even prevent pests from devouring your crops. And the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Man, look at this table. Look at this table. You know, when you're not honoring God, say you're here today and you're not a tither, but you had a craving for a banana. You're not a tither now, okay? You're not a tither, but you want a banana. When you ever do get your banana, you know what you're doing? You're eating God's banana. It's good. It's a good banana. All I'm doing right now is making sure that I've got a good level of potassium. Amen? But when, listen, if you don't tithe and you eat, you know what you're doing? You're eating off the Lord's table. And as you eat off the Lord's table, glance at your table. Just look at your table. But you eating, though. Yeah, man, and you can't do this, especially as a Christian. And you know tithing is true. You know tithing is right. You say, I gotta have an apple, but I guess I have to get a little sneak on because I know this really doesn't belong to me. Are you following what I'm saying? Amen. This is the Lord's plan. You say, well, why is it so important? I'll tell you why it's so important. So that you, somebody say me. So that you can be what? Blessed by God. You can be blessed by God. You know, some people, this is what some people do. Some people, they do what they want to do. Like last night, you know, hey, go to a restaurant. Hey, let's ride down to Greenville. Let's ride up to Norfolk. Go out to eat, catch a movie, run by the mall, whatever you do all day Saturday. And you come to church on Sunday and just, you know, CSIC, $20. Just drop it in and feel justified. You just did $98 and some change counting the tip for you and your family at Olive Garden. But you came to church and you bust the check out there for $20 and drop it in the plate. Well, that's fine if you're a $200 a week salary person. But that's not what you're making. In that case, if that's not what you're making, then guess what you're doing? You're robbing God. All this you got. And you're going to say, I'm going to eat off his table. This is the truth. It's just the truth. Amen. And you know what God says? God says when you pick that up, he says, hey, that's mine. Okay? Hey, what you doing? That's mine. And God says, look what you got. Think about it. This is what you're trusted with. Listen, you can have all of this. That's God's right there. This is his plan. And you know what? He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you not with just enough. He wants to bless you with more than enough. So that giving to missions, when somebody says, Pastor Dave, hey, Pastor Dave's going back to the Dominican Republic. Hey, what do you think, baby? What do you think? It doesn't matter. What do you think? $50? It's not an issue with you. Why? Because you're already in the processes. You're already in the principles. You're already in the habit of giving. So it's not an issue for you to do it. It's over and above your tithe. You're just doing it because you can. You're blessed to do what? To be a blessing. Amen? That's what he says in Malachi, man. Return to me. If you've walked away from this, he says, come back. Come back. Now, if you read in the scriptures on the Levitical law, if you read in Leviticus, if you were to withhold your tithe, keep it for yourself, God says, I can overlook that, okay? But when you finally, you know, you come to this reality, I just need to pay my tithe. I need to catch up. God says, we can arrange that. You know what God says? Add 20% to it. Come on, preachers. Where are my preachers? My preachers, have y'all read that? It's in Leviticus. God says, I'll receive your tithe if you change your mind and you want to give it, but it's not a tithe now. Add 20% to it. God is higher than some of these little mom and pop places that you borrow money to buy a car. God says, my interest rates are high. So the best thing you can do is repent and get this thing right and just do it. Amen. Just do it the way it's supposed to be done. Why? So that you won't have this issue, so that you have more than enough, so that you can give to mission, so that you can bless your kids, so that you can do what you need to do. And all of your stuff is taken care of. Amen. This is a principle of God. Someone said, I wonder what would happen if all Christians were tithers. Can you imagine if every, because you say reality of it is, I don't know about this church, but statistically, it has been shown that about 14-15% of the church pays their tithes. Okay? About 14-15%. The rest of them just drop a few bucks in. But true tithe, 14-15%. So what would happen if everybody started paying their tithes? Statistics say, this is done by Relevant Magazine, published an article, if every believer in America tithed, there would be an additional $165 billion to use for the kingdom of God. If every Christian in America tithed, disease worldwide could be eliminated by the supply from America of fresh water wells for every community in the world that needed one. If every believer tithed, then we could eliminate illiteracy all over the world by raising up qualified teaching standards in every community. If every Christian tithe, and the list goes on and on and on, and they listed all of the major things that impact society and said, if this alone was done, we would still have in excess of $15 billion left. And we've met all these needs of disease and famine and lack of education and all this stuff. If people would tithe. You know, Pastor David can tell you what it's like when you roll up in a community and you've supplied $3,000 and you paid for a hand-dug well. And he's ministering to people that have been walking 2 miles a day just to get something that you think nothing of, just fresh water. He can tell you how it feels when they pump that thing for the first time and fresh, clean water comes gushing out and they're ready there with their bucket. They no longer have to dip in streams where there's disease and everything else going right back into their body. They've done that how many times? 4 or 5 times in the last few years? $3,000 a well. He said, if every believer did this, we could do more of this. That's why some of you, when we do a missions project, some of you say, hey, man, no problem. I'll give you $500. I'll give you $1,000. Some of you have done that. Some of you sitting right here have tossed in $500, $1,000 just a couple of weeks ago in this back room back here in the plate. In the plate, $27,700 came in the plate from churches all over northeastern North Carolina who met us here. For what purpose? To establish an orphanage in Uganda for 12 boys. $27,000. The reason people that do that, they're already settled this issue. This is not an issue. They already understand God's principles. And they've been blessed, so they don't have a problem writing the check and being a blessing. Amen. See? God says, listen, you do a lot of things well. How many of you know we talk on Facebook well, okay? We drive cars well, we cook well, we clean well, we keep our yards clean well, we put flowers out well. Listen to what God says. I'm coming to a close here. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, since you excel in everything, and then he gives you a parenthetical statement, you excel in faith, You excel in speech. You excel in knowledge. You excel in complete earnestness. And you excel in the love we have kindled inside of you. Paul's in the process of doing what here as he writes to the Corinthian letter? In the process of taking up an offering. A collection. He says, comma, see to it that you also excel in what? The grace of giving. You do all this other stuff well. You do fine arts well. You come to church well. You do all that. Make sure you give well. And that's his call to us. Man, I could stand here for all afternoon and tell you multiplied examples of people in this church right here. I'm looking right at you this morning. That I have know many, many, many times that you have given and given and given and given and given over and over again. You've given to missions. You've given to the church. You've given to efforts of help and relief. You've given to all kinds of things. I'm talking to the person this morning who just don't get this. Wait, give it up. Give up your time last week. You say, man, you know what? Some of you husbands and wives may be talking this afternoon. You know what? Man, we are struggling. We are challenged. Because see, some of y'all go through a lot of cash flow. But I know people that go through a lot of cash flow that have to run to the bank on Monday morning to make sure it's covered. I know people who have a lot of cash flow that bounce checks and get overdrafted in their bank account. God says, listen, what I want you to do is get this right. And if you get this right, he says, I'm up there in heaven. I'm looking down. I'll keep that devil's hand stayed. I'll stop. I'll rebuke the devourer. Get your hands off his stuff. I'll stop that devourer from taking your stuff. Why? Because you're a tither. That's what God says. Give it up. Give up your time. Get a part of the church, man. Serve, give, volunteer, sign up. Give up your time, but also give up your treasure. Get this right. And when you get this right, what you're saying to God is, you know what? I'm all in. I'm all in. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for believers in this house today. I thank you for this church. I thank you, God, for such an incredible organization of believers who love to give to people, love to give to missions, love to give to churches, love to give to relief efforts, love to give just for the sake of being a blessing. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts today. We're not here, Lord, to do anything except call your people to a place of obedience. You know, I'm not going to say, hey, if you're here today and you're not a tither, just stand. I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to say is, you're here today. Would you do your altar call with the Lord? Would you just have your business with him right now? And if you're not a tither, would you give serious, serious consideration for your own benefit so that your house, your kids, your grandkids can indeed be blessed? Your church's mission plan can indeed be blessed. You know what? I was in prayer just a few weeks ago, and I was like, God, please, 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 slow this thing down. God was giving me revelation of where this church is going. And I was like, Lord, come on, come on. I was like 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, God, come on here. And the Lord was giving me a window, Pastor Dave, a peek into where we're going. Can I tell you something? We've done some incredible things. But man, I feel it in the spirit. We haven't cracked the surface to what God wants to accomplish in this region. This church is positioned to be a headquarters. This church is positioned to be a clearinghouse for Northeastern North Carolina revival. This church is positioned to release out pastors. We've got ministers sitting in this house week after week. We're positioned to say, oh, no problem. I got somebody I can send you. We're doing it already. We can send preachers out, missions out, missionaries out. We can send them out. We've been doing this for years. From this church, 19 individuals have left this house and gone into the ministry from this house. I said, Lord, we need more. More is going to happen. More people called into the ministry. More people released from this house into ministry. More churches established. You know what? We haven't established a church since 2012. There's more churches in this room right now. There are churches sitting in this room that need to be launched and raised up. Here's a new church. How did that get started? Started out of Carpenter Shop Church. There are churches in this room. There are ministers in this room that we need to go out and spread the gospel and establish ministry in Northeastern North Carolina. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, you do business with Him. It's Him you have to answer to. And here this morning, if you're a single parent mom or a widow, somebody said, well, what in the world are they going to do with all that stuff? It ain't going to go to the waste. You know what we're going to do? We're going to bless you. We got bags over here. Some of my volunteers, if you would, just get ready. We got bags over here because in just a few minutes, single parent women and widows. If I got widows in the house, you widows stand up. Your husband's deceased. You're by yourself. Come on, ladies, just stand up.